Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This episode is marked for sensitive content. Please check content warnings in the episode description before listening. This week on the Breakup Breakdown.
He had this whole like storage unit in his bedroom. So I was just kind of going through it. Like,
I literally find like the worst biohazards.
I remember looking at them. These are not mine. I picked one up just like this. Whose are these? They were literally crusty and dry. And I was thoroughly disgusted.
No.
I was like, oh my gosh.
Sometimes the evidence that someone is stepping out on you is more obvious than others. Welcome to season 8, episode 10 of The Breakup Breakdown. I'm your host and lead relationship PI, Abby Murphy. And this week, our guest says she stayed in a relationship that she planned on getting out of for a whole year before she finally pulled the trigger. And if you're wondering where these crazy breakup stories come from, I take submissions from a form in the episode description. So if you've got a story tip from someone you know, your own story, something you've seen on social media, or if you want me to do a little digging and DM someone that you're a little scared to, again, you can submit all those in the episode description. Hey, Heartbreakers, welcome back to another episode of the Breakup Breakdown. This week, we've got an interview from someone who knew her boyfriend was actively cheating on her, but was waiting for the right moment to get out. Before we get into that, every week, we give a shout out to a different domestic violence organization just to raise more awareness. And this week, we are shouting out Family Rescue in Chicago. They are dedicated to eliminating domestic violence in the Chicago community by providing comprehensive support, services, and shelter. For more details, head to the episode description. Okay, so this week's submission actually doesn't come from my submission form. It does come from my DMs. Now, I do not recommend you DMing me because sometimes things get lost in the sauce, but I had already been talking to this person prior to their submission. And they said, hey, I went through this harrowing breakup in college that led me to such a deep dive of my own life and my personal history and therapy. And I really think people could get so much out of it. So here's what I knew from the submission. Basically, this was a relationship that spanned most of this person's college experience. They never once posted about them on social media. It was like a very incognito relationship. But these two were planning on getting engaged, getting married. They moved in together senior year of college. But the kicker here is that this person told me that pretty much from the moment they moved in together, she knew that at some point she was going to have to break up with him. And it had everything to do with something that she found while digging through his drawers. But once she found him, she still made the decision to stay with him for one more year. So I go through almost an entire year of pain when you know you want to leave. Well, let's find out when we break down this week's breakup.
We met on Tinder.
It's really funny the amount of times people have met these. Maybe everyone needs to stay off of Tinder.
Because I'm banned for life from Tinder, so it doesn't even matter anymore.
You're banned for life?
For life. I have to get a new phone number to get back on Tinder.
What did you do to get banned from Tinder?
It was like at the beginning of COVID, like when my friends would be on Zoom doing our game nights and stuff. So we'd, you know, get messy on Zoom. And so we did like, we realized you can go on like a browser version of Tinder and like swipe through it. And so that's what we were doing. But then we'd also like, we came up with a survey and it was like, congrats, you've matched with me. You know, what did you like about my profile? And so I was just sending them to all my matches. And Tinder was like, that's the same link that you keep sending over. This is spam. So bye.
That's crazy.
And I was like, it wasn't even like an unsolicited picture. It was nothing. It was just a survey.
Yeah, there's millions of guys out there sending wiener pics. Yeah. And yet you're going to get doxed for asking for feedback?
Pretty much. So then I contested it. They're like, no, you're banned. And I was like, great. Awesome.
Wow. That's pretty rude. But honestly, it probably saved you if this is where you met this guy that we're going to talk about. So you met on Tinder.
Yes.
Did it start out? Because my knowledge of Tinder is that it's more hookup focused. So were you just looking for like a guy to hang out with?
Absolutely. Okay. So I don't even know if I've told anybody this. A lot of this like is the first time I've said it out loud to somebody that's not my therapist. But that night, it was like summer B in college.
And you know how summer would be in college is that summer would be like, I came back from a frat party and I was like, who do I want to hook up with tonight? And I was literally just like texting and like DMing random guys that I was like, okay, like you could have potential. And the thing is, like, one of my guy friends was actually staying over at my place, but he was like out at a separate party.
Okay.
And so we were like, okay, like let's meet back at my place at the end of the night. And so he was like passed out drunk when he came back. So I was like, you're not going to entertain me tonight in any way, shape or form. He literally was asleep like in my doorway, the bedroom doorway. And so I was texting all these people and like my now ex just happened to be the one that texted me back first.
Okay.
And so that's how we ended up meeting each other for the first time.
So I'm assuming you went over to his place.
No, he came over to my place.
Oh, with your friend in the hallway?
Yeah. And I literally warned him. I was like, hey, by the way, like my friend is like drunk and like passed out in the doorway of my bedroom.
And men are like, I don't care. I will traverse any terrain.
Well, I guess in like hindsight, this could have been my first red flag. Like, why was he so okay with this?
Well, because it was a man being like, oh, I'm going to get some tonight.
Oh, it was definitely like a pee on a fire hydrant contest. Like, I was like, okay, whatever. And I was not sober. So.
Yeah, and I'm sure he wasn't either.
No.
And for context, for anybody who doesn't know what Summer B is, Summer B is basically this BS semester. You take like one class and you party the rest of it. So it's a very, it's a social semester.
Absolutely.
So he comes over, you guys have a great time. And how does your relationship progress from there?
Well, that first night, I thought he was really sweet because, you know, before he left, he like tidied up the kitchen. He like made sure like every door was closed. He like locked up behind him because I didn't lock him out the door. I don't do that. Like,
it's a full service thing.
Yeah. And I was like, wait, this is so nice. I've never had this before. And so it kind of kept going. Like he would do like little things for me. Like, you know, like he'd fill in the gaps with like my grocery shopping. He would always tidy up after himself. And it was just like things that I wasn't used to seeing because again, like I was in college. Like any little thing that a man could do that was the bare minimum was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
This man cares about me.
I know. He's great. And he was older than me. So I was like, wow, he's so older. He's like so much older and mature and he can get me alcohol, which was a little important at that time. But it was just kind of like your typical like kind of summer romance. Like we went on little dates and like we'd go out to dinners and stuff. And he was just so kind to me and it always felt like he was listening.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was very validating to feel the way that I felt about things. It was just easy to like fall in love. Like it wasn't even like a do I, don't I. But I will say I dragged out the dating period for months because he wanted to make it like official, like boyfriend, girlfriend within like 2 weeks.
That's so rare.
And I was like, no. And then in my head, I'm like, oh, it's because he's older. So like, this is what he probably thinks like he should be doing. And he just doesn't get it. Like, I'm not there yet. Cause I was just like a little, I was 19. Like, what did I know about dating?
Nothing.
So I was like, no. Like, let's kind of drag this out. I definitely was seeing other people like while this was going on. And I was just kind of like, and I got to a point where I was like, okay, like, do I want this man who's in law school or do I want this guy who's just like having fun with me? And I was 19. Like, I just wanted to have fun. So I picked him.
Okay, so he's not the guy in law school is what you're trying to say.
No.
Give me a picture without being too identifying about what he does or who he does or who he does. We know who he does.
Everyone.
As we will find out. So give me a picture of what this guy was like. Was he in a fraternity? Was he involved in SGA?
He was in a Christian fraternity.
Those guys are the worst. I've heard so many stories. They are the freakiest. I know exactly what fraternity you're talking about.
They're actually the worst. Like, I think that they were way more misbehaved than the actual like IFC fraternities.
I completely row. Based off the stories I've heard, 100%.
Yeah. Like everybody like gave so much like Greek life, like such bad flack about everything. But it's like, do y'all like know what goes on in those Christian fraternities?
I have a friend that lost her virginity in that frat house.
Oh my gosh.
Which isn't like the craziest or wildest thing ever, but it is just ironic that it was the specifically Christian fraternity.
Yeah. And I'm like, I mean, granted, like I lost my virginity in a frat house too when I was younger, but like still like.
But it wasn't the Christian fraternity. Yeah. It was probably like, you know, Sigma Apple Pie or whatever.
Yeah. It was definitely not a Christian fraternity. Anyway, so he was in one of those fraternities, but it was really just more of a to tell his parents, like I'm in a Christian fraternity. And they're over here thinking like, he's an angel, God-fearing man. Gentleman, yada, yada.
Mm.
To my understanding, he had graduated college. He had gotten a degree in some major. I did verify it was a real major that existed within the university.
Okay.
And he was doing some very specific job at Whole Foods. I didn't question it. What the heck do I know about Whole Foods? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, like he has a job. He goes to work. He gets a paycheck. He can pay for our dates. He can buy me stuff. He can take me to Disney for my birthday. What else am I going to think about it? I mean, he was just like sweet. But at the time, like he was just very sweet. And like he had a good relationship with his parents from what I could see. Definitely a mama's boy. Maybe a little bit too much sometimes. He was tall. Like, what more could a 19-year-old ask for?
No,
like,
literally. So you guys date for how long officially? And at what point did you start noticing red flags?
Almost 3 years. And the red flags, I'm like, I think it took me at least a year and a half to even start noticing the red flags, but they definitely were coming at me, like pelted at me in my rose-colored glasses, starting from the beginning probably. And I just didn't know.
Give me an example.
The very first year that we were dating, like he took me to Disney for my birthday. Well, instead of telling me, hey, I can't afford to take you to Disney for 2 days, we're just going to go to one instead, he made out of this whole lie about his friend, like had this whole medical emergency and like he had to go be there for his friend, yada, yada. And I was kind of like, okay, that's interesting. And so me being the little sleuth that I am, I decided to go through social media and be like, well, who is this friend? Because I've never heard of them. And this friend is just out here posting on Facebook like nothing happened. And so then I asked him about it and I was like, hey, like, didn't you say this person was, you know, in the hospital in a coma? And he was like, oh no, like those are old posts. And I was like, okay. And then I went back to look for it and I was blocked.
By the friend?
Yeah. And so I'm like, that's weird. Like, anyway, so I kind of brushed it off and I was like, okay, whatever.
Wait, give me some more context for this Disney situation. Like he said, oh, I'm going to take you to Disney for 2 days and then said, oh, just kidding. My friend's in a coma.
Yeah. And so he's like, well, let me get this figured out today and then we can go tomorrow. I said, okay.
And then you never went to Disney, I'm assuming.
We actually did go to Disney for the one day.
Okay.
But in hindsight, I'm like, he should have just told me that he couldn't afford to pay for 2 days worth of Disney visits. Like,
yeah. Well, also 22, you know, who is affording Disney? Families of four who have been working for 20 years sometimes can't afford Disney for 2 days.
Exactly. And I would have understood because like, I mean, he was only a little bit older than me, but I was in college. I had literally no money to my name. So if you can only take me to Disney for one day, awesome. I'm so happy. But no, it was just like, oh yeah, my friend's in a coma, so I can't take you to Disney for 2 days. So we're going to go for one.
Okay. Did this kind of deception, was that a pattern in terms of the red flags?
It became a pattern, but it was a lot more subtle. Now looking back, it was a lot of projection that was happening. It'd be like, why are you on Instagram all the time? And it's like, I literally was just like looking at pictures of dogs. I still do. And or like just like catching up with my friends. Like I was in Greek life. There are like a million women to follow in Panhellenic and they're all doing cool things. And yeah. I just want to see that. Like I want to follow my favorite celebrities and see what the gossip is. And he thought I was just so dumb. He wanted to be like, oh, I'm such an old soul. It was like, what is the boy version of a pick me?
A pick me, maybe?
He was just like a pick me boy. He's like, oh, like, I don't like, he's like, Taylor Swift is dumb. Like, it's like, okay, then let me listen to Taylor Swift in peace. Leave me alone. I think it got to a point where I was kind of like, why does he care so much like what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of misread it as like, oh, like he just wants to be interested in what I'm interested in, or he's trying to be. Or, you know, he's trying to show me new things that I haven't been exposed to. I got to a point where like I was gaining a lot of weight because, you know, that's just what happens when you're in college, when you're drinking and like going out and stuff. And now you have a man that can pay for all these nice dates. And so I was like, I'm going to start like trying to take care of myself. I'm going to go on more walks. You know, I'm going to go to the gym. And you're like, well, who do you need to look good for?
I'm sorry, what?
And it's like, but he played it. But then he was like, well, I love you just the way that you are. Like, I think you're perfect. Like, I don't think you need to change it. And to me, I was like, oh, like, that's so sweet. He loves me for who I am. And so I just brushed it off because I kind of just misread it as, oh, this is him loving me for who I am. He's meeting me where I am. Again, like my initial attention was for myself. He just didn't let me get that far. But I think like one of the biggest things is the fact that he lived at home and he lied about it, which his parents were from Gainesville.
Okay.
Like they lived in Gainesville. And he was saying how, I forget the story he sold me. Like it was like some family member's house and they passed it off to him because I was like, how are you 3 years older than me and own a house?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. And so he played off this whole story and I believed it. And then I was like, well, I want to see your place because he was always coming over to my place.
Wait, you guys dated for, I'm in my timeline, we're at a year and a half here. We're talking about the red flags.
Probably about a year and a half. Yeah.
And you never once went over to his place?
No. Well, I was busy. Like, I had classes. I was on, everything I did was like so focused like on campus. So it didn't really matter to me. And like, I didn't have a car there. But anyway, so then finally I was like, I convinced him to let me go over to his place. And little did I know, it was when his parents were out of town. I remember looking around the house and like, there was almost like nothing personable. Like, there were no pictures anywhere. There was almost like no decor, like, you know, a lamp would be on a table kind of thing. I was like, oh, that's kind of odd. And so then I was like, oh, like, are you in the master bedroom? And he was like, no, that's kind of weird because that's where my whatever family member.
Yeah, did it.
Yeah. So I'm not going to be in the master bedroom. And I said, OK, I guess I can understand that.
OK,
whatever. And I don't remember what he was doing or if he was asleep or something. But I at some point, like a few visits down, I decided to like kind of peek into the master bedroom to see what was there. And there was just like a bunch of stuff. And I didn't really go through the stuff. I was like, why is this room so cluttered? And I had finally met his parents. And he had this whole plan where we're going to go to brunch with his parents. And then we're going to take a walk around the botanical gardens and then meet up with them again to, I can't even remember what we were doing. Because in hindsight, he was like, when I finally found out, he was like, oh, I did that because I didn't want them to suggest that you come over to our place and realize that I lived with them.
So he fessed up to it?
He fessed up to it.
Oh my God.
And I should have known because like every time we were doing it in the house, he'd be kind of like looking out, like seeing if anybody was like coming. I was like, why are you so jumpy in your own home?
It's like you guys are 16 or something.
And I was like, God forbid, like a burglar comes in. Like this jumpy man is not going to save me from anything.
You're fucked.
No, seriously. And so, yeah, he like fessed up to it. And I had to think, I was like, the extent that he went through to like hide everything. And I had met his parents probably like a few months before this whole confession even happened. And I'd given him a gift and it was just like a cheapy little print that I got off of Etsy. They had told me, oh, like we hung it up in our house. Like it's in a really nice spot. We love it, blah, blah, blah. And it was like never there when I was at his house. So I'd like never connected the dots.
Mm-hmm.
But then finally I was just like, you know, what's really weird? Like, I don't know where your parents live because he would always tell me like, oh, I'm going to go see my parents. And I check his location and it'd be in a different part of town.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, who lives there though? Once he confessed, it was so weird. I was like, this doesn't make any sense to me. But then also, why did you have to lie to me? He's like, well, I didn't want you to think that I was some loser because I live at home with my parents. And I'm like, again, I have no money. I'm a college student. Who am I to judge you if you're living at home with your parents?
Yeah.
Anyway, that was like one of like the smaller things because the things that I found in this man's room.
What did you find?
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville. Calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Dirty panties. That did not belong to me.
So he was cheating on you.
Well, I didn't know this at the time. Like, I remember finding it in the drawers and I was like, what is this? Because these are not mine.
So you're just like going through his drawers for some reason.
No, we were literally in his room and he's like, oh, I'm an open book. Lie.
I mean, he's an open book, but the everything
don't open
inside
certain pages.
Well, I mean, everything inside the book is a lie.
Yeah.
You know, or things that are scribbled out or overlooked or
and
whatever.
I honestly think he forgot that stuff was in that drawer, but like he had this whole like storage unit thing in his bedroom. So I was just kind of going through it. Like it was just like random like hobby stuff. I didn't think much of it.
You found like these disgusting then, granny panties. And you're like, these are not mine.
I literally find like the worst biohazard that I got. I literally.
Not a biohazard.
I remember looking at it. I'm like, these are not mine. And I picked one up just like this, pinched my fingers together. And I was like, whose are these? And he goes, oh, I forgot those were in there. Like, it's nothing, blah, blah. And am I allowed to say this? They were literally crusty and dried. Like, they weren't, like, they were hard.
Could you, so like they had been in there for a while?
Probably.
They were fresh and recently crusted over.
They were probably there for a while and I was thoroughly disgusted.
No.
I was like, oh my gosh. And so I wanted to, I was like, I don't know what he was doing in his days before he met me. He didn't know what I was doing like in the days before I met him.
Uh-huh.
I mean, granted, I wasn't doing any of that, but...
Oh my God, I'm horrified. I'm horrified for you.
I was horrified to find it.
I just don't understand how he justified it. He's like, oh yeah, they're like, whose did he say
he
they
said
were?
That they were his ex-fiancés because before we got together, he was engaged to somebody.
He was engaged?
He was engaged. And he told me that the engagement had ended like 2 years or something before we met. And then I find out way later that they had actually ended their engagement 2 months before we met.
Oh my God. I was about to say, because that means he would have been engaged at what, 20?
I guess so.
Yeah.
See, I was like 19. So that makes him like, yeah, like 21, 22-ish.
So he's like, those are my ex-fiancés and you toss them out, I'm assuming, like immediately.
I didn't do anything with them. I said, get rid of those. And did I ever double back to see? No, why would I subject myself to that?
Absolutely not. Yeah.
No. So anyway, time goes on and we actually decided to move in together my senior year of college.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your senior year, you're moving in with your boyfriend.
Yes. So when I tell you those rose colored glasses were dark, and it also was a reflection of myself because it was like, I truly believe that was just all that I deserved because I didn't think very highly of myself.
Mm.
And I see that now, but at the time, like I didn't, obviously. I was just trying to go through the motions, like get through college, live my life in college and try to enjoy it the best that I could. But my senior year of college, I decided to move in them because I was looking for a place and like he wanted to move out of his parents' place. And I said, okay, I guess it could make sense that we move in together because we're always at each other's places anyway.
Yeah. And financially, it's easier on you. It's easier on him. I get it.
Yeah. However, my mother wasn't very on board with it and she was the one paying my rent. And so I remember her telling me like, I can't tell you what not to do because I know that if I tell you that I don't want this for you, you're going to do it anyway. And you're going to figure out a way to do it.
Yeah.
And I said, you're not wrong. And so she kind of supported me in the best ways that she could. My dad still has no idea to this day. I guess in hindsight, like for good reason, because my dad would probably still have me locked in a bubble box.
Just because they didn't like him or because of tradition, religious reasons?
I think that low-key they didn't like him because after we broke up, they took the money for whatever they would have spent on that wedding that we probably would have had if I stayed with him and bought me a car. So
well, I hope it was a nice car.
It's a very nice car. I love her. She gets me from point A to point B smoothly and that's all that I care. And
love.
But anyway, so we moved in together and this was like, so the summer before senior year, right before recruitment week, I was a pie guy. So when you're recruitment counselor, you know, they lock you up in a hotel for all of recruitment week.
Yeah.
So a couple of days before we were supposed to move into the hotel, he was like passed out drunk on our couch, had his pants on his ankles, like hand on the wiener kind of. I was like, what am I looking at here? And his phone was in his hand.
Oh my God, no.
Because he was always giving me crap about being on my phone all the time.
Yeah.
But it's like, again, I was like looking at pictures of dogs. I was like looking
innocent
at recipes
stuff.
For things. Like, it truly wasn't anything malicious because I still don't do any of that. So I'm like, let me just see. It was when like the phone still had like the thumb print to unlock. Uh-huh. So I just took his thumb and unlocked his phone. It was like the easiest hacking ever.
And what did you see when you opened up the phone?
Too much.
No.
Some of these women I have met because they're his coworkers and obviously like,
uh-huh.
And so I'd met some of these women that he was like having these texts with. And I'm like, that's so snaky that these women have literally met me and smiled in my face, just making out with my boyfriend.
What do you see when you open up the phone? Like, I know you said too much. What do you see?
Like all these like sexual, like, are you home right now? Oh, I can't believe I'm at this thing with my girlfriend right now. I remember it was my brother's high school graduation and he came home with me. And one of the texts that I had seen was, I can't believe I'm here in Atlanta. I'm so bored right now. Like I got dragged here, blah, blah, blah. I was like, sir, you drove me here. What do you mean you got dragged here? He was out here texting all these women and he was meeting up with them too, because this is very, very fucked up. So after the initial time that I had found him like cheating and everything, he started giving me these Ollie gummies, like the sleep gummies. I don't know if you ever had them before.
No, but they have melatonin in them.
Mm-hmm. So personally, they give me night terrors, so I don't take them anymore. But he used to give them to me under the guise of like, oh, like you don't really sleep that well. Like you should try these and it'll help you out, blah, blah, blah. But it got to a point where he was giving them to me, I realized, so that I would go to sleep sooner so that he could engage in his extracurricular activities.
Stop.
Yeah.
How did you figure this out? Did you just put two and two together?
Well, at first I was trying to fight him on it. And I distinctly remember there was this one time he tried to shove the gummy in my mouth and I spit it back in his face.
Are you kidding?
I wish I was.
He was like trying to drug you, essentially.
No, 1,000%. And I realize that now, but at the time I was like, why is he so hung up on me eating these freaking gummies? And so I remember I spit it back at him and he tried to shove it back at me. It's like a wet gummy. And so we're playing.
You're like, you're basically like baby birding each other.
Pretty much just like baby bird with like a half eaten gummy.
Ew.
So anyway, I remember like he gave me this gummy and like he was like literally trying to shove this gummy in my mouth. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with him? And so I kind of chewed it up and I like swallowed it. But I, that night, I fought like hell to let that gummy work on me. I was like, I'm going to stay awake. I'm going to stay awake. And I think I started picking up on realizing that I like do this thing in my sleep where like, as I start to fall asleep, it's like almost like I'm falling and like kind of jerk in my sleep.
Yeah.
And then I go to sleep.
Okay.
And I think he picked up on that. And so for a few nights, I was just kind of testing my theory. So I would like pretend to fall asleep and I do that little jerking thing, but I wasn't actually asleep.
Uh-huh.
So then I would hear him get out of bed. And I was like, but he wasn't leaving the apartment. So I was like, I don't know what he's doing. Because our apartment was like 600 square feet. There's not enough room to go anywhere.
Right.
And so I was like, what is he doing out there? And I was like, I'm going to leave this for another night.
Mm-hmm.
So that night with the gummy, I was like, why does he want me to have this gummy so bad? So I fought like hell to stay awake. I was trying so hard to stay awake. After what I thought was enough time, I didn't really hear anything. I quietly came out of our room and I look around and he's not even there. So I looked at his location and I was like, where is he right now? And I didn't know where this address, it was near our place, mm-hmm. but it wasn't any kind of like store or bar or anything. Like, it definitely was somebody's place.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, that's weird. Because again, I found all these text messages and stuff, like maybe 2 weeks after we had moved in. And what was I supposed to do? Like dump him? Like I had nowhere to go. So I kind of had to just be nice and cordial. He profusely apologized. He was like, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do this again. Blah, blah, blah. I don't even remember the argument he gave me. I just remember that was the saddest recruitment of my life because I found out that my boyfriend was cheating on me with not just like a couple women. It was like tens of women.
Oh my God.
It was so many women.
And that's also a week when you're in that role as a counselor, you have to be there emotionally for all these young adults who are going through one of the most emotional phases of their life too.
Exactly.
So I can just picture you sitting there with like a smile on your face, be like, everything's okay.
I think the funniest part is like, I was the morale pie guy. Like,
no.
So I was the one that's supposed to like pep everybody up and hype everybody up. And really like, I wanted to die inside because I was like, I can't believe that my boyfriend that I live with is cheating on me.
At least you didn't have to see him for a week and a half.
And I think that kind of unfortunately was to his benefit because then like he could probably continue whatever he was doing and whatever I caught him in.
Yeah.
But also so that like I could cool down a little bit so that I would be probably more pliable to like his excuses and his apology. And financially, I had nowhere else to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't about to, you know, go crawling back to my mom and be like, hey, by the way, like, you know, you said you didn't want me to live with my boyfriend. So you were right.
It was a mistake.
Yeah. I didn't want to do that. So I was like, let me just play nice and see how this plays mm-hmm. out.
But you know he's in the middle of the night sneaking off to somebody's house.
Yes. And I didn't know who. But the thing is, like, as I kept doing it, it would be like different places. I was like, where is he going?
How did that affect your intimate life? If I'm dating a guy and I trust him to take care of his body and he's going off doing who knows what with who knows where, you know, who knows where, I would feel so uncomfortable having sex with that person.
Well, first of all, he wasn't really taking care of his body because I was over here begging this man to shower and brush his teeth, which
well, I guess is sexual health. You know what I mean? Like if he's, that puts your health at risk too.
Absolutely.
You have no idea what he's doing. Like unless he's wrapping it up every time, which
he was not.
Well, yeah. After 3 years, who's wearing a condom every night if you're on birth control?
He was not. And I was on birth control. And I remember during recruitment week, at some point in my fanny pack, I lost my birth control. And I was so angry. I didn't even care. I was like, I don't want to have sex with him anymore because he's clearly not having sex with just me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the same thought process. I was like, what am I doing? So basically that was probably one of the last times that we had sex.
Really?
And mind you, like we still had probably close to a year left in our relationship because I had to figure out how to move out.
So for the last year, y'all are not having sex?
No. And I wasn't even sleeping in the same bed as him because I didn't feel safe after a certain point. And also like, it's not like he was sleeping in the bed with me either because he was sneaking out almost every single night. And so I got to a point where like I was so isolated because up until this point, I didn't realize it, but he was just isolating me from like my friends, my family, like whoever. Like he'd be like, well, why are you hanging out with this person? Like they're not good enough for you, like blah, blah, blah. And I stupidly believed him.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were very, very few people in my life. Basically, the only people I stayed friends with were the people I didn't physically have around me.
Mm-hmm.
They were living in different states. Like they were elsewhere. They were not within Gainesville. And that was hard because the friends that I did have in Gainesville, I was seeing them in very tiny, tiny quantities. Mm-hmm. Because I would basically have to like find a workaround, be like, I swear it's like just the girls, like it's not anything else, which I wasn't lying. It really was just the girls. That was just annoying to me because having to justify my actions. Meanwhile, when he'd be like, oh yeah, like I'm going to go play disc golf with my friends. Okay, bye. I guess it gave him a little too much wiggle room there because like I'm not very public about my like personal life anyway. And so it was to his benefit. Like there was no social media trail that we were together. And he definitely used that to his benefit.
Mm-hmm.
I let it happen because I was like, what reason do I have to not trust him? Like he said he was sorry, he wouldn't do it again, that he loves me, blah, blah, blah. But it was just the fact that he was doing all these things that he thought that I wasn't noticing mm-hmm. and he thought that he was smarter than me was crazy. And I was over here just trying to play nice because I was stuck living with him until I could figure out a way to leave. So I slept on the floor and we didn't have sex.
For your whole senior year of college?
Almost, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was awful.
Is he paying half the rent? I'm trying to figure out, okay, so financially you guys are tied together.
Yes, so he paid half the rent. But yeah, I literally just like slept on the floor because it was the only place that I felt safe. Because at the very least, like if something were to happen to me, like I could just run. Then it was like almost graduation time. And I had to decide like, what do I want to do with my life? And he was under the impression that once I graduated, he was going to propose to me and we were going to get engaged and get married. And I was just kind of going along with it because I was like, okay, like again, trying to be cordial because his ugly side was ugly. Mm-hmm. Like, am I allowed to say this? He chased me around our apartment with a machete.
Why?
I don't even remember. We got into some fight and he like wanted to show his, I don't know, prowess, whatever the word is. He was just being like fake alpha dog to me. And he was like, you really think you're not scared of me? Like he literally chased me around with a machete in our 600 square foot apartment. And I remember thinking to myself, I was like, who am I supposed to call first if something happens? Like, do I call his parents or do I call the police? Because in my head, I was like, I'm going to be the one that makes it out of here alive.
Uh-huh.
You might not. And I remember my therapist being like, I think it's very interesting that at this time you were more homicidal than suicidal. And I don't know if you're going to keep this in, but
I mean, I think it says a lot about his character.
Yeah.
But that's terrifying. I mean, for him to actively threaten your life is an act of intimate partner violence.
Yeah.
I'm sure your therapist has told you that and I'm sure you've worked through that. But did you, and I have to ask this question, although I understand how it sounds coming out. Like, why not leave after he threatened your life?
So like, again, like I was kind of stuck just financially. Like I had no resources and I was so isolated. I didn't have anybody I could call to help me.
Mm.
I guess I could have like called my mom, but there she was in Atlanta. Like, what was she going to do for me? My mom kind of probably had an inkling that things were happening and she's never outright said it to me, but she knew that, you know, when we were on the phone and talking, if I randomly switched the subject, it's because he was in the room. And so I couldn't talk about it and she would know. And she'd be like, okay, well, I'm busy. Like, I'll call you back later. I'm like, yeah, okay. And it was just sad. I was really trying to figure out how to leave. And this was a spring of senior year. I was like, okay, I need to get out because I don't want to be with him anymore. And I knew that if I stayed with him, he would have proposed to me at my graduation just because, you know, it can't be about me. It can't be about the fact that I just finished 4 years of college. It's going to be the fact that he proposed to me on my graduation day. I knew it was going to happen. And it just kind of like sat really heavy on me because I was like, well, I kind of know that like I want to go to grad school. And I literally applied to a grad school in Atlanta. And I told his parents and him that I did. We were kind of almost like at each other's throats because we were kind of forced to talk to each other. And so we were kind of just picking fights about everything. And it's like, I don't know what you plan to do, but I plan to go to grad school in Atlanta. It's like, oh, well, I thought you were just kidding about that. What do you mean you thought I was kidding about that? It's not like I've been working the last 4 years to get into grad school or anything. He's like, oh, well, I just thought you were kidding. Well, just so you know, like, I don't like people that work in that profession. I literally told you what I wanted to do with my future when we first met. What do you mean? And so it was just this whole thing is, well, what do you want to do? And I said, I think I want to break up with you. And I remember this conversation happened in our bed. We were laying side by side and we were looking at each other and we were kind of arguing. And I remember, like, well, what do you want to do? Because we're fighting all the time. I said, I think I want to break up. And he goes, okay, fine. Then we can break up. Now what? And I said, I'm going to move out. And so he said, okay. And what he doesn't know is that when I said this, it was because I had already started putting things into place. This is why it's so interesting to me whenever men get broken up with and they're like, I was blindsided. I became out of nowhere. I kind of did blindside him because he thought he was smarter than me. And I was over here like putting all these pieces together so that I could leave safely.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of guys are literal and I've heard this multiple times. And I think it's a very common theory that women sort of slowly break up with men over time, mm-hmm. kind of in your heads or whether you're putting things into place physically or not. But guys, my theory is they do something, they like drop a bomb and it ends the relationship. relationship, like they'll cheat on you or they'll get a backup lady and then they'll break up with you and then they'll go to that chick or whatever. Whereas women, it's kind of like you have to sort of come to terms with it before it actually happens so that when you leave, you're done.
Yeah. And so I don't even know where to begin with this. This is the part where it's like I was being dramatic.
I think a lot of people could empathize with the fact that like you're fed up. Like you've just spent the last year, your senior year of college, which is supposed to be this really fun and celebratory time and all about your friends. And here you are sleeping on the floor of your freaking apartment in your college town. And I could see like once you've made that decision to go, you are probably ready to just GTFO and live your life finally.
Yeah. And I booked to have like a rental car, like a SUV, so I could move my stuff. My family had friends. And so I came up with this plan with my mom. I was like, okay, I'm going to move all my stuff to their house. Let's call her Sue. I'm going to move my stuff to Sue's house. And then you guys can come and pick me up from there. Because again, my dad had no idea that I lived with this man. So they couldn't just like roll up to our apartment and like help me move out. Like I kind of had to put in some of the work first and figure out a way to kind of cover my tracks so that my dad wouldn't suspect a thing. I remember I like started slowly packing my stuff up. And one day while he was at work, I was like, fuck this. Like, I'm just going to hit full send, pack everything other than my go bag, essentially. And I had all my stuff kind of lined up so that when I went to go pick up the car the next day, I could just load it all up and drive it to Sue's house. And I remember when he came home that night, he was so angry. He's like, what are you doing? Like, why are you packing everything up? And I said I was going to move out. Did you think I was kidding?
And also, I'm getting the sense that he's a little upset about this breakup for whatever reason. Like, he's upset that you're leaving. The way you're describing this relationship, I just don't understand why. And I understand why you didn't leave from like a safety standpoint, an emotional standpoint, financial standpoint. I get it. But I'm like, why does he want you to stay? You guys seem miserable.
No, like I wondered the same thing. And I think in hindsight, I was just, I hate to say this about myself sometimes, but I feel like I've always kind of been like the take home girl. Like I'm the one that guys will take home to their parents and be like, hey, like this is my girlfriend, because like I'm normal enough.
You seem very normal to me.
Like I'm normal enough and like I have enough potential that like I'm not like a complete dud that they'd be bringing home. And so he could go off and do whatever it is that he does in his extracurricular time under the guise that he has a perfectly normal life with his girlfriend. Because to every single person but me, he was this charming, kind, funny, outgoing guy who was smart, a people person. Like, if he had actually applied his abilities for good, I think he would actually been able to do wonderful things for the world. I don't know why he was like so taken aback that this was happening, because I had literally told him I'm planning to move out next week.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like I just up and left. Well, anyway, so he went to work the next day. And while he was at work, I took an Uber to the airport to get the rental car. And I pack the car up. I go to Sue's place. I bring the car back to our place. And so I moved all my stuff to Sue's house other than what I would need for that night. And he comes home and he's livid. He's like, I said I was going to help you move out. Why didn't you wait for me? And I was like, well, you were at work. When were we supposed to do this? I'm moving tomorrow. And I already told you Sue is going to drive me home tomorrow and she's at work and this is the only time she can take off from work. And he insert tirade here, blah, 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 blah. But I was like, why is he so shocked? And it was just so dramatic. And so we didn't talk to each other the rest of the night, thankfully. So the next day, I actually wasn't doing any of that. What was going to happen was that I was going to go meet up with one of my friends at her place and she was going to follow me to the airport so I could return the car and come back to her place. So then we were going to have a sleepover as our last like goodbye before we parted ways. She was staying in Gainesville, but I was going back to Atlanta. And my parents were just going to pick me up from her place. And then my dad wouldn't think anything of it because it's like, oh, like she was having a sleepover with her friend. And that's why we're picking her up from here.
Yeah.
When I tell you, this is like a whole like,
I'm getting that
elaborate scheme that I had. So I remember I like got in the car and he's like looking around and he was like, this is a pretty new car. And I said, so rental car is completely clean. Like there's like nothing in it.
Yeah.
And it was just so dry. He's like, well, this is, we're just like on a break, right? And I didn't say anything to him. I just rolled up my window and drove away.
I'm out of here.
So this is the part where I'm like, why did I do that? I realized I left my charger.
No.
And dummy little me, instead of just like, I'll just pick one up literally anywhere, I circled back and had to awkwardly knock the door.
Hey.
Yeah, okay. I left my charger. So I go to my friend's place, you know, we hug it out. I kind of tell her what happened and she had no idea anything. Because again, I was isolated from my friends. I wasn't telling any of my friends this. I was honestly embarrassed. Because it's like, how did I let this get this far?
Mm-hmm.
How did I not pick up on all this and do something earlier? It was just, I was blaming myself for all of it. But I finally told my friend,
even though we were both sharing her little like full size bed, it was the best sleep that I'd gotten because it was the first bed I'd slept in since like the holidays when I was at home.
Oh my God.
It was something that I really, really, and she's still one of my best friends to this day. And she really saved me there and completely came through. Did not ask a single question as to why I was doing all of this. She just knew I needed safety. Mm-hmm. And that meant a lot to me. And it was like months had gone by. I was like mute for like 2 months after this breakup. I didn't talk to anybody. I was so shocked at everything that had happened. And then my mother, who doesn't really even believe in mental health, was like, I think you need help. Mm. And I was like, yeah, I think I do. And it was really rough at first because I was so exhausted all the time because it was like, he was so good at gaslighting me. I'm over here in therapy. I'm like, but that might have not been what happened. And my therapist, no, that's exactly what happened because how did you make that up in your head? And so it was very sobering to go through all that. And it was exhausting, which is why like my rebound era was just one for the books. Because emotionally I was checked out. 2 months later or so, he's like, what happened? I thought we were on a break and you haven't texted me at all since you left. I was like, I definitely said that I wanted to break up.
He's like, not him gaslighting you out of getting back together. I'd be like, oh yeah, it was a mistake. Oh yeah, I want to come back. It was so great. You know, the whole year where we weren't sleeping together physically and in the same bed.
Yeah. And so I did not even know how to respond to that. I was like, what is he even up to? Because I hadn't even checked his social media up until this point. And I find that he's in a relationship.
You're kidding. While he's texting you about thinking you're on a break?
Yeah. And how much he misses me. And like his Venmo notes would literally say like, I miss you so much, blah, blah, blah.
Is he Venmo requesting you, paying you?
Like he would Venmo request me. And like the little memo for it would be like, I miss you so much.
Ben, he's in a relationship. How do you know this?
So I went to his Facebook and his relationship status was public. And so was the date. And so not like down to the day, like the actual like number day.
Who was it?
This other girl that I ended up talking to like way later on.
Gotcha.
And they had like moved to Texas together. Yeah. I'm like, well, at least I didn't move out of state with him mm-hmm. where he didn't even have his parents or like I didn't have his parents as a crutch to fall on. But that aside, it was down to the date. And I was like, wait, they literally got in a relationship less than 2 weeks after I left.
You're kidding.
Less than 2 weeks.
So she must have been one of the women he was entertaining, allegedly.
She was. And I did get confirmation of this because like I said, I talked to her way later on because way later on, this jumps forward way ahead in the future. They got engaged.
Stop.
And I found out because this is so random. I was on a cruise and like, I do not pay for Wi-Fi on a cruise because it's my time to just unplug, forget about the world for a little second there.
Yeah. Disconnect.
Yeah. And so that I remember that year, his favorite NFL team was in the Super Bowl and they lost. And I knew they were together and I was genuinely scared for her safety because he is a sore loser. Mm-hmm. And this is the part where the DM that I sent you kind of plays. I'm like, I truly think that this all started because his parents let him win snakes and ladders every single time. Like sore loser to the max. And I remember like I reached out to her. I was like, hey, like I know you probably don't want to hear from me or anything and you don't know who I am, but I just wanted to make sure that you are okay safety wise because, you know, this team was in the Super Bowl and they lost and I'm fearing for your safety. She was actually, no, like we broke off our engagement, blah, blah, blah. And then we ended up like talking and I did confirm timelines. Like she was saying that I had moved out like a way before I actually did move out. And so, yeah, like, he fully was bringing these women to our apartment.
Probably hooking up in your bed.
Yeah. And I had a suspicion, which is also why I wasn't sleeping in the bed. And what the annoying part was, I was doing all the laundry. It's like, why did I do that?
You're like washing somebody else's sweat off your sheets.
No, 1,000%. And I'm over here like, and then again, this whole time I was blaming myself. I was like, if I do this better, like maybe he'll love me. If, you know, I do this, like maybe he'll love me. And it was looking back pathetic. And
it's not pathetic. I understand you feel in hindsight it's pathetic, but it's not pathetic.
But at the time it was like, you know, what was I supposed to do? I was trying to be cordial. And then he was always kind of resentful of me because we were at different phases of life too. And like now, if I dated somebody that was 3 years older than me, it wouldn't really make a difference. Mm-hmm. But when you're in college and then the person you're dating is a new grad or like fresh out of school or to him didn't even graduate, but said that he graduated, it's just different. And mm-hmm. there can be a lot of resentment there because he was here having to wake up and go to work every day. And it looked like I wasn't doing anything, even though I was just literally just trying to get my degree.
Yeah. Well, you're also schools. You're living like the typical college student exactly. life. But you're in different phases.
But he didn't understand that. And it was just like a lack of empathy in general. But it was just hard sometimes because it was like, what are we doing?
And so the fact that like I was just trying so hard to be this perfect ideal, like at home girlfriend, you know, helping him cook meals and do his laundry and yada yada, clean the apartment. And he was just having to go to work. I'm like, the feminist in me right now is just screaming. It's like, what were you doing?
Stand up.
No, seriously.
Get off your knees.
Like,
stand.
Backbone? But yeah, that was kind of the end, of that. Like after the 2 months where he reached out to me and we kind of had this like closing conversation, I guess, where he was just kind of asking me like, oh, like what went wrong? And I had done quite a bit of self-reflection at this point. Like it was not 2 months, it was like a few months after our breakup because I'd been in therapy for a little while. Mm-hmm. And I was telling him like, you know, I've done some reflection. Like I realized I looked at myself in such a poor light that I thought that that was what I deserved. And clearly I need some time to grow into myself and figure out what I want and need and figure myself out before I got into a relationship. And we were at different points of our lives. Yeah. And I think looking back even still, and I can still read it without cringing, it was a pretty mature response on my part. I definitely could have been a lot more mean than I was. And this whole paragraph, he's asking me all these questions and I'm answering them in this way that's almost philosophical. And he's just like, be honest, is it because my dick was small?
Was it?
Yes. It wasn't bad enough for me to be crashing out once I realized that he cheated on me. I literally thought I was asexual at some point. Like, I was like, am I actually attracted to him?
Do I like men?
No, seriously. Because like, I will say that first night that we met, it was the best time that we'd ever had sex.
And it was just all downhill
and
after that?
And that was just like a one and done kind of deal.
He was like, I'm going to put in the work. And then after this?
Absolutely.
I'm done.
Absolutely. I was absolutely bamboozled. Like I learned way later on that he'd only done that. He told me this because my guy friend was there and he didn't understand that this guy and I were literally just platonic friends.
So he was trying to show off in front of your friend that was passed out in the doorway.
Passed out because this comes back to full circle. He literally had to help me put my friend on the couch. He was that drunk and passed out. Like he was dead weight. So he's over here like helping. I'm like, who are you trying to impress? This man was dead weight in my doorway.
In his mind, he's like, he's listening in. No, he's writing a Yelp review.
Absolutely.
He's recording this.
And it's the fact that he confessed to it afterwards. I'm like, that's insane.
That's crazy that you cared more about my passed out friend's opinion than of your girlfriend's.
Exactly. Wow. And I had no idea until this conversation had come up. I remember in like the few weeks leading up to our breakup where we were just like picking fights about anything and everything that was happening.
I want to hear about your therapy journey though, because it sounds like this was a pretty devastating relationship and a devastating breakup for you.
Yeah.
I think maybe less about mourning the relationship and more about mourning what you wish you could have done or how you wish you would have shown up in this relationship. Yeah. So tell me more about your therapy journey and what your therapist taught you.
I will say,
on Thursday, I'm doing something a little bit different for the Breakdown bonus episode because this was a very long and very comprehensive interview. So I decided to save some of the lessons for our Breakdown bonus episode so you can get through listening the entire breakup story all this week. So on Thursday, you're going to hear everything that my guest learned from this relationship. And I'm not saying it's free therapy because it's not, but it includes so much good wisdom about what she learned from this relationship and what she said her therapist told her about getting stunted emotionally at a certain age and what causes that in a relationship is so fascinating. I think so many of you are going to relate to it. So I'll see you whenever you decide to tune in next. Hopefully that means it's Thursday.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness. Award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.